Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Rich Shields Golf Show podcast, episode 225, on location today here at St. Anne's Old Links. Here with co-host Guy. How are you, Guy?
Very good. I need to shake hands. Don't make me do a fist bump. Oh, you really committed. Yes, I win. It feels different.
It does feel very... We're much closer together today.
I like it.
And also, we've got guest, friend of the show, Sophie Walker. Sophie, you've been on quite a few times now.
I have, yeah, but this is on location. I've always been to the very posh studio that you have. So you've treated me to a game of golf today, so thank you.
Well, we did three holes.
Well, yeah, that is a game for us, isn't it?
So we're down here at St. Anne's Old Links today doing some filming for the Open, which will be out exclusively on the One Club app. Make sure you signed up. We'll put a link in the top line in the description. But it's been, you know, why I wanted you both on today, this weekend. There's lots of emotions flying around. And yesterday, there's a certain football match that I think we should kick things off and get straight into that. And the reason why I've invited you both on today, because I'm a Manchester United fan, as you know. Mm. Hardcore Man United fan. You bleed me and I bleed red. You cut me and I bleed red.
Yeah, we bleed you.
I hope so,
we bleed you and you cut red.
I hope you've got red blood in you.
And this weekend, it was my team versus your team, yep. Liverpool Football Club. And what a match.
Well, yeah, what a match. And if you weren't aware, Sophie, Rick now supports Man United. It was Liverpool for a couple of years.
This is the best then, result he's ever had, isn't it, as a Man United fan?
He's gone back to United. His little boy's put City. So he's...
Out of 225 episodes, this is the only time I've been able to proper gloat. So to have two Liverpool fans on, I feel very, very satisfied today. What a match. Incredible finish. And he bothered... You've only got three trophies to play for now.
I said to you guys before, off podcast, I like football a nice amount. I like it enough to enjoy it, look forward to it, watch it, enjoy watching it. After the result, yeah, obviously I'd rather Liverpool win, of course I would. I was gutted that Liverpool lost in the last minute or two. But after that, turn the TV off. And then I'm like, it's okay. Watch the golf instead. And also I'm a rugby league guy.
Of course, so, you're a rugby fan now.
Yeah.
Coincidentally.
It ruined my... I was out yesterday. And it would have been out. If when Harvey Elliott scored, I was out. And then when you won 4-3, I said, right, next train home's 10-7, let's go. So it does put a bit more of a downer on my day. It was a great game. If we are going to lose one game this season, it'd be all right with that. But, you know, it's a good game of football. And finally, Man United were good to watch.
Well, I successfully made all three of my children cry. on maybe three occasions watching
by screaming and shouting.
I'm a very, very animated,
you're a bit aggressive,
loud fan when it comes to I love last minute goals. And then when Rashford missed that chance at the last minute, I literally nearly flipped the house upside down, even though it would have been offside. And then in the extra time, I literally went berserk, and all three of my kids, I don't know, I feel like I'm failing at the moment getting Jude into United.
That should have converted him.
Yeah, I think maybe me screaming and shouting and literally going hysterical. Probably I need to tame that down a bit. But anyway, all good.
Before we get into today's podcast, obviously it's a special one because Sophie's here. It's also, but it's three reasons why it's special. One, Sophie's here. Two, we're actually at a golf club, not the studio. And number three, today we can announce formally, in fact, I'll let you announce it in a second, Rick, but we've got big news to announce about the podcast and the future of the podcast and what people in the clubhouse, listeners, viewers, etc. can expect.
Well, we love our fans and followers, and the podcast has had such incredible success. This week, we are launching, drum roll please, a brand new podcast, which will be out every single week. It's going to be called The Clubhouse. It's a bite-sized podcast, which will be coming out every single Friday. You'll have the main podcast out on a Monday, Tuesday, a shorter version coming out on a Friday every single week. It's going to be answering more questions, going into more detail. Like I said, it'll be bite-sized, just set you up ready for the weekend. We might talk about the week's golf that's coming up over the weekend. It's going to be excellent. Whether we've got guests on, whether it's me and Guy. So this Friday, be sure you are subscribed to all of the podcast platforms, wherever you get it, Spotify, Apple, etc. Be sure you're subscribed, get it all downloaded. Friday, we're going to be dropping a brand new episode, and each and every week it's audio only. So if you're watching on YouTube, this is going to be audio only, so make sure you tune in Friday.
Yes, and the good news is, if you already subscribe to the audio podcast, it'll be on the same feed, but it'll be like a new podcast in the podcast. It's like a little Friday treat is how I'd sell it.
Like a mini show, like a little Friday mini show.
You get in the car on a Friday night, work's finished, you're getting ready to go home. It's, you finish work at 3 o'clock, let's say, early dark, boss doesn't know. You're thinking, right, 4 o'clock, I've got Brick 75 coming out. I'm going to watch Rick Shields battle it around. Where would he be battling it around?
Well, not bloody Sawgrass.
Not Sawgrass.
Oh. Nobody's going to see that
the
one.
Result yesterday. Let's not talk about it.
And then, not only that, to get you excited in the mood, get the mojo flowing, you've got a little 20-minute, 25-minute, half an hour, I don't know, shoot me. Who knows how long it's going to be? Little podcast treats thrown in.
That's very nice. I love that idea, guys. This guy's idea, by the way. So it's going to be epic. I'm really looking forward to it. And again, this is a nice little reward for you guys listening. After the football, which again I'll stop talking about now, it was PGA's flagship golf tournament, the Players at TPC Sawgrass. Again, it's a sensitive subject for me. If you didn't see the footage I put out last week, I did lose the entire video from TPC Sawgrass. We as a team lost the TPC Sawgrass video. Maybe found one day, who knows, but at the moment,
explain to people listening and watching what you mean by lost, because a lot of people don't understand how do you lose a video.
I bet you've asked that question a few times. If unfortunately I don't want to bring in the person responsible,
let's call him Barry, just for anonymous. I can't say the word. Let's just call him Barry.
So right. Barry is a fantastic member of the team.
Yeah.
He's worked for the team for quite a few years, and he's never really made
Barry's too close to real name. Let's call him Gary.
Larry.
And Larry's been phenomenal. Unfortunately, Larry lost his head and he lost the footage. So what happens after we film all the content, typically on every single shoot, we will back up the content. And it'll be put on a hard drive. So we've got the main footage. So there's literally a folder saying Sawgrass that's on a hard drive. And in that folder, it's got all of the cameras, the A camera, the B camera, the drone footage, everything else in that folder. And we normally back that up and put it on another hard drive for security. It's a key word. Safety, security, backup. Unfortunately, the process failed us. And Larry, Gary, and Barry somehow... The footage wasn't on the hard drive. It hadn't been backed up, and it is like literally gone. So we've given the hard drives to a forensic team, and it sounds quite intense, but they're looking through all the deleted files, etc., etc. That process was about 95% complete last week. It's probably going to be 100% complete this week, and the results still at the moment are 100% undiscoverable content.
So that was the bad news. The good news was, instead, on Friday we released the Cabot Farms video, where you went and played with Ryan Ruffles at an amazing golf course that is not yet open, I believe. It opens in September time. Firstly, what an amazing looking golf course. Have you seen this golf course?
Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't.
So it's called Cabot Citrus Farms, okay? Which is a bit of a bizarre name for a golf course, but Cabot, the company, own a lot of different golf courses. Apparently, they've got some amazing ones around the world. I think one of their flagship ones is in Canada. And they bought this golf club. I think it was called World Woods originally. It's kind of on the way to Tampa if you're in Orlando. And they've basically reconfigured the whole golf course. They're building two golf courses there. One of them, which is designed on... what's the golf course it's designed on? Oh God, it's
one was like Pine Valley.
What's it called? Pinehurst.
Pinehurst.
So one of them similar to Pinehurst, and the other one, which has not actually been the turf laid there, it's supposed to be inspired by Augusta National.
Wow.
And this one, the one that I played was with the original course. Like I said, it's not open until even I think it's September time.
It's all like sand.
There's more sand than grass.
It's like Bandon Dunes.
Yeah, it is.
It looks so
more sand. Yeah, that's like Pinehurst. Though.
There's more sand than grass, and I found definitely more sand than grass.
Yeah.
But I actually played pretty impressively off the back tees, which is 7,600 yards. The video's killed it. The comments are amazing. Hopefully, you saw a much more positive
version
of me.
Your vibe was good.
I think that was. Yeah, the new vibe that you're going to see moving forward. So, really excited about the golf course. It's called Citrus Farms because, believe it or not, that's where they grew oranges and tangerines. Nice. So that's why.
I've just been
Citrus Farms.
In Tampa. I didn't know about
it's
that.
Like, it's like, I'm saying Tampa, but my geography of America isn't particularly great. It's in Florida. If you were in Orlando and you're kind
driving diagonally
up,
down.
Or is it not diagonally up to Tampa?
Cross. Definitely west.
Yeah, so it's kind of in that vicinity.
What did it feel? A golf course that's not open until September, obviously, bearing in mind it's only March now, that's what, 6 months away, quick maths. How done is it? It looked pretty good. From the drone shots, the greens looked a little bit off, but...
Yeah, from above, I would agree, from the drone footage, it looked worse than it did when you're actually on the ground. Mm. And I think sometimes drone footage can do that, can't it?
Oh, yeah, because it's so vast.
Yeah.
And you can see a lot more imperfections, but when you're actually down on the ground, you could tell it wasn't finished.
Yeah.
There's lots and lots of construction work taking place. But it's all the things. I just think America does it really well. Like, we also went to Stream Song when we were out there. That video's not out yet, but it's kind of a similar vibe to that. You go for a weekend, you go with your family, you go with your friends, you have a nice golf almost trip there. You've got a couple of different golf courses. You've got a little par 3 course, which was called the Wedge, again, from the orange kind of family. A wedge of orange. Slice of orange.
Segment. Isn't
segment,
it?
Segment of orange. Segment
can't be called
quite
segment.
No, the segment.
I think it's wedge golf, wedge... Orange, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah.
But that was really cool. That was all floodlit as well. This massive putting green, one of the biggest putting greens I've ever seen in my life. They've got these little lodges and stuff. Yeah, it was really, really, really impressive. I'd love to go back once it's actually finished. Talking about obviously impressive golf courses, and obviously the tournament we just talked about, the Players at TPC Sawgrass. You went last year, Soph, didn't you? I went last year and this year. It's a very, very incredible golf course for a tournament.
It's called the Stadium Course, isn't it? It's purpose-built, in fact, round 16 and 17. We got hospitality on 16, so that was quite cool because you could look across at the tee shots on 17 and see them fly over the water, and I hung out at the back of 17 quite a lot. But the last three holes are really good. So you've got a reachable par 5, then you've got the short par 3, and then a real tough 18th hole. I like it because normally the field is insane. And it gives you that vibe of how's everyone getting on before the Masters. I think this is the point, isn't it? Where it's if you've not got your game, like I was thinking Victor Hovland, what's going to happen with him? He's on the driving range with his new coach working on all this. Thinking, well, not betting on him for the Masters. You want to be just nicely trending in the right direction, don't you?
It moved a few years ago, didn't it? Because it never used to be in March.
No, it was. Then it moved to May.
Right.
And now it's gone back.
It's perfect where it is.
It's
now.
So
because you get different weather. So I think you got, I'm a bit boring like this, but you got three different winds on 17. So when you play the same golf course year in, year out, the only thing that can be different is the conditions. Yeah. So you stand on that 17th with three different winds in 4 days. It gets you thinking about it. If it's the same wind all the time and the same weather, as a pro, you just get used to it. It's like, hand me that same gap wedge. But if you've got to start feeling a 9-iron or hitting a big sand wedge, then things change.
I felt like there was a lot of talk about the golf course this year because obviously it was the 50th year of the Players. Not 50 years at TPC Sawgrass. Yep. It's moved locations, but it's been at Sawgrass for a long time now. The contrast between like 1980 when it was first built and now, like all around the first tee, you had these almost inbuilt natural grandstands which were really cool, like a proper stadium. 17 looked totally different because that island where that tree is wasn't an island, was it? You actually used to have like almost a slither of ground up into the island. You could actually sit around there. It actually looked pretty good. I think it looks better now because the course is just immaculate. And then obviously the result, world number one. Unquestionably, regardless of PGA Tour, Live, whatever, he is unquestionably the best golfer in the world right now, hands down.
Mm.
And he showed
been it. For a long time.
Scottie Scheffler.
Now he can putt. That's been the big difference.
Just he wasn't really. It wasn't his to win yesterday. He went out and shot was it a 64, mm-hmm. 8 under par, to win by one. Like, what the hell?
I think we speak every week about Liv and PJ Tour. I think this year, when you look at that leaderboard, you've obviously got Scottie Scheffler 1, Brian Harman, Xander Schauffele, Wyndham Clark, Matt Fitzpatrick, we're all up there. And then you've got the guys who we're thinking about in Liv, your John Rahms, your Brysons, etc., Brooks Koepka. I know we said it last week, we say it probably every week. This Masters this year, I think, is just going to be so exciting to see all those guys competing. But this event was arguably, for me, because I tried to watch as much as I possibly could, the most I've ever enjoyed a tournament outside of the majors.
I think the Players is the best golf tournament so far this year.
Oh.
PGA Tour. I've struggled with the PGA Tour this year. Obviously, I've been travelling a lot. But I remember waking up on the Monday after the waste management and going to the guy that I work with. I don't even know who's won.
Mm.
Like, don't know who's won. Normally, I've watched it, but I didn't even check my phone. And obviously, it's all about the winners, isn't it? And we weren't getting Rory winning, Scottie Scheffler winning. We were getting the players that these events aren't built for, you know. Yeah. These new signature events are supposed to be built for the big names, and it wasn't happening. But it all just came together nicely yesterday, and without Rory being in it, it was still a very exciting watch. And I've been a fan of Scottie Scheffler for a while now, and it just feels like suddenly the world's waking up to just how good this guy is. And I know, because he swings it unorthodox, people don't take him seriously, but he's the best.
Yeah,
he's the best player tee to green. I mean, he's got Tiger stats tee to green.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It's mental, isn't it? His swing just doesn't make sense.
I think I saw a tweet off Peter Finch yesterday. I think it was Peter Finch, and I actually resonated with me, because it was. I think he put some on the lines of, I've always, you know, liked him. No, I never disliked him, but this was the first time he was like rooting for him, and I kind of felt that aligned to me. That I've always, since he's hit the scene, I've thought he was a nice enough guy. Thought he was a bit bland at times. No offense. He just, although his golf swing quite funky, he didn't really blow me away. But I think when somebody gets so dominant like he is now becoming, you can't help but just be in awe of it. And the fact that he's now got his putting much better, the fact that his foot does move so much that he just absolutely stripes the golf ball, even his beard. I like him with his beard.
I like his beard.
I'll be honest. I think he looks so cool.
Big power move.
Twins.
Big power move.
It does, but I just think something. And even now, when I look actually at the leaderboard again, Brian Harman, from seeing him win the Open, I wasn't a huge fan. I heard him on the No Laying Up podcast. He won me round. I thought he came across really well. Wyndham Clark again from No Laying Up, and his, obviously, he was the US Open he won last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of these guys I'm starting to kind of root for. Maybe it is down to full swing. I don't know, but I feel more invested.
But I think with the. I think it's actually helped Scottie Scheffler, his putting, because now you watch him to see, has he fixed it?
Yeah.
He's fixed it, you know. And like, one of my friends interviewed him the other day, and they said, you can ask him anything except about his putting, because it's starting to touch a nerve. Yeah. And you want to find a little bit of adversity in them. And you think, if his putting does start working, he'll win every week. And guess what? Mm. Back-to-back weeks, because the putter started working. I think you're now invested in him because of that.
Yeah. Well, it's back-to-back weeks. It's the first player to ever win the Players back-to-back years.
I'm sure I heard that no one's won it and then come top five, which I thought was crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you're right. I think it's a dominance thing. Because again, I was watching last night. I wanted him to win. And I've never really rooted for him. Even if it was going to go to a playoff. I wanted a playoff, because I think the player a playoff at the Players is brilliant, because you obviously get to play 17th again.
It's 16, 17 and 18.
I think that would be such
great holes.
It's been a few playoffs when Ricky Fowler won it. Yeah. It was a playoff, and I always think that's a great playoff. But still, even if it had gone to a playoff, I'd have still wanted Scottie to win. Like, I think he would have won either as well. Like, I don't think it would have even been a question. But it must be that dominance. You know, it's why did we become such big fans of Tiger, and why did dominant people in any sport you end up following, don't you, wanting them to win better?
Do you think as well with this, I know it's kind of unofficially the fifth major, everybody calls it obviously, and like you said earlier, Sophie, the PGA Tour hasn't really kind of always got you at the edge of your seat. With this one, it does feel like that. Not only is it pretty much right before the Masters, it's this kind of fifth major, and obviously the best players are playing and playing well. How do we get it to a point where like every PGA Tour event has this feeling? Is that possible? I mean, if you think about, again, use this analogy, like the F1, every race is meaningful. If, you know, arguably every match in the Premier League is meaningful. You can't win the league without doing well in every game to a degree. Like, what is it, let fewer events, or can it never be the case in golf?
I don't think it ever is, because you're right, as much as the Premier League, every single game is worth the same points. You don't watch a Liverpool versus Fulham the same as you watch Liverpool versus United. Like, it just carries more weight. And even the F1, like, you know, you could say Monaco is a huge race. You can say Silverstone is a huge race. You know, I don't know all of them off the top of my head.
Bahrain. Jeddah isn't.
Yeah, it's true.
They're not, even though they are all worth the same amount of points.
But even so, with that in mind, does that feel like they're still closer than like this versus a random PGA Tour event, what nobody even feels like they tune into? Yeah, is that a bigger disparity?
Well, there's too many. There's too many PGA Tour events. Like, you know, every single week it's hard to get invested. The season is getting shorter. And in Formula One, you've got 20 drivers, and in the Premier League, is it 20 now?
Yeah, 20 teams.
There you go. Then you've got more golfers to invest your time in. I think that's a big difference. And also, when you're watching the Formula One, they're all going to be there.
Mm.
You can watch the PGA Tour, and Rory's not playing that week. You're like, oh, okay. Like, what your favourite? Imagine watching Formula One and Lewis Hamilton's just not going to drive
that
week.
Week off.
It'd be so random, isn't it? And considering that's such a dangerous sport, you're surprised not some of them more out with injuries and, you know, if they have crashes or whatever.
Question for you then, Sophie. We've discussed this before. I want to hear your take on this. Right. You get a phone call this afternoon, and it's from all the big bosses in the golf world, and they say, right, Sophie, we want you to come up with the new world tour. We are going to bring Liv and PGA Tour all together, whatever it looks like. How would you make the perfect golfing season, and what would that look like?
I've had this discussion about like a world tour, that players don't want to travel as much as you think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, traveling all the way down to Australia, they don't want to. It's very hard. If you could look at the LPGA Tour, the players on the LPGA Tour don't even go to Asia, and it's all expenses paid, you know, no cut. There is that. The way I've seen it for many years now, since Liv came along, is let's condense the PGA Tour season, start it in January, finish it in August like we're doing, and then if you want to go and play Liv, have it like an IPL cricket at the end of the year, and you can decide to play in that or not. You bid your franchise, your team golf. Rory's mentioned he's not into team golf. Well, he might not be there, but the rest of them will, and do it that way. I don't think a world golf will work because these players don't want to travel. And until they are paid... Like, so when you're Lewis Hamilton, your Mercedes and your Formula One, you're very much represented of that. And they get pulled from pillar to post. I mean, you're interviewing Lewis Hamilton 30 seconds before he's about to get in that car. Now, I do interviews, and I'm not allowed to interview a player on the golf course. I'm like, what do you mean? I can't... No, during a round, not allowed. So-and-so doesn't like it, but so-and-so does. At the minute, the players do have too much power. Until that changes, which I'm not sure it will, because I think they've lost respect for that power at the moment. With F1 wasn't working. No one was watching it. It took them all coming together to find a way. And until that happens, it won't use. But they need to represent the PGA Tour, represent what their team is, and not be all individuals, which at the minute is going to be difficult.
You know, just something on that you mentioned then, that I think I've been thinking a lot about recently, about the team golf, and you said Rory's not a fan of team golf. And
that's only because he said it.
Yeah. But he said that. But I actually think a lot of players, I think they are fans of team golf when it means something. So obviously most golfers, and again, I'm just getting this from Full Swing, say how the Ryder Cup is arguably the biggest highlight of their career, and being in that team and the camaraderie. And only from my limited experience in golf, I just love the junior, the team matches. And I don't know about you, Sophie, but do you think if we could get it so that they felt like the actual team signings meant more, then they would enjoy it more? But they have this negative perception that sometimes Liv doesn't mean as much because the teams are newer and not as established.
Totally, and that's why you have to look at the IPL, how successful that is because it's in a concentrated few weeks, stroke months. The teams are from areas, aren't they, in India, and they know they're only going for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
That's the way it's going to help. And also, look, with Liv, they jump ship, don't they? Like, so-and-so's on that team one time and then on the other. And they don't actually... I want to know, really, why Taylor Gooch has moved. Tell me. Like, is it why, you know, Matt Wolff and Brooks Koepka, like, have they really fallen
out? It wasn't well communicated at all.
You've got to tell us, like, it's okay if teammates don't like each other.
Tell people, because they'll love all
that. I'd be into that.
I think this idea that you're right, that I think if the teams, you know, like the Rippers, that we're all from Australia, that kind of makes sense. Because you're like, well, that's my team, that's who I'm from. And I feel like you could play with like that heart on your sleeve. And it's like, no, this is what I'm doing. But I think the idea of having an on-season and an off-season for the PGA Tour is really important. Because, you know, I think even, was it the last hole yesterday? It's like the commentator said, oh, Xander's missed out on this time. He's always got next week. And you're like, oh. It almost takes the importance away. It's like, I want him to be, this is his only chance. He's not got next week. Next week doesn't exist, do you know what I mean? And I think that idea of just, it's another week, it's another week, is an interesting question as well, because I'd love to hear your take on this, Sophie. Obviously, you've got, you live in, obviously, a lot of the time, LPGA, LET tours. You were out in Singapore, were you, last week, as commentating as well, which I want to touch on in a minute, because you told me something very interesting out of the golf course that I didn't know, Guy, and I'd love to know if you knew this as well, from a commentating trick. Would you like to see more synergy as well with PGA Tour, LPGA Tour coming together, European DP World Tour and LET coming together more? Like, is that something that you think would strengthen the sport as a whole, or do you still think male and female sports should stay separate? What I mean by that is not maybe so much competing always at the same time, because there's certain events around that, but I do think they should have a week where it's the LPGA Tour 1 week, same golf course, same setup, and then straight after, the week after, it's the PGA Tour, for example. Is that something you'd be a fan of?
US Open, it happened at the US Open at Pinehurst. I think Michelle Wee and Martin Keimer, they back to back. The tours, I know we have the RNA as a big governing body in the USGA, but all the tours are different businesses. They're all trying to fight for the same sponsorship. What's worked, the synergy of women's sport to men's sport, is the FA getting behind it, the ECB for the cricket, like something all encompassing coming behind it. I think that would really help, because, you know, you two are now dads of girls. What does it look like for a 4-year-old girl at golf? What does it look like for a 4-year-old boy when they're 10, when they're 15? You don't want to have to say to your daughter, oh, you know, you're really good at golf, but there's nothing for you now. Now you're turning 14. That's it. That's what it used to be at football, didn't it? Now you're turning 13, but there's nothing. I think you've got to see it, what it's going to be like for them for year on, year out. I gave a talk the other day and I said, look, you know, most female sports people have to have a second career. Like, oh, right. But if you look at it from a professional men's point of view, more of them do not have to have that.
Oh, that's crazy.
So I think we need to look at what it is like for just the little girl at 4 years old. Is it going to be the same for the boy? Can you look them in the eye and say, you're going to have equal opportunity? If we had more synergy for the PGA Tour, the LPGA Tour, helping each other out, then it would, in the long run, it would be better. The trouble is, at the minute, everyone's looking short term.
It's not really a quick fix, that, is it?
It's just, let's see how much money we can get and keep our members happy now.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, quick fixes.
There should 100%, I think, be like a mix, like Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
I think
they should have done it with the Olympics.
The Olympics, they missed a big trick there. I thought the Grant Thornton was good. I quite enjoyed that. And that there are a few events here and there that come together. For me, media sense, you know, if PGA Tour have got a day with the LPGA Tour, you know, send Lexi and Rory and share it out, because the women probably don't have as much media exposure as the men, so they'd be quite happy to do more of it than the men would.
It was a bit like, was it last year, the Solheim Cup?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Ryder Cup being so close together.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Do you think as well the amount of tours confused? It's like, say if you support Liverpool, well, obviously we do in football, then now that women's Premier League is getting so much more popular, it's then quite easy to go, right, well, I'll support Liverpool, so obviously I'll support Liverpool women's. And even if that just supports means I check the results or whatever. Whereas now it's like, if you are a man and you think, right, oh, you know what, I want to watch more women's golf or whatever, it's like, well, do you then watch the LET? Do you watch the LPGA? Then you're also watching PGA. Then you're watching DP World.
We got
like,
the Aramco series.
It's quite a lot. If it was just literally there was a two tours, there was a men's tour and a women's tour, would that then be easier to maybe
digest?
I think it
would be easier, yeah. But again, we've gone so far past that.
That's what I mean. It's just
like years down the line almost. So you were out in Singapore, was it last week?
I was Tampa last week doing LET, and then I had 2 weeks before that in Thailand and Singapore with the LPGA tour. Wow.
So Tampa with LET?
Yeah, just because it says European tour doesn't mean it's European tour, right?
That's another confusion.
Yeah.
So LET was playing in Tampa?
Yes.
That
I mean,
weird.
But they haven't played in Europe this year. Because it's too early in the season. And I don't think the DP World Tour have played in Europe yet this year. Because it's not warm enough.
Well, no, but I almost feel like America, though, feels like that's the LPGA.
Oh, you're not allowed to touch, are you?
Yeah, that's what
well,
it feels like.
Well, that's the perception,
like.
Isn't
yeah.
it? And that's what's wrong with it, maybe.
It is, I think you're right.
Yeah.
You were doing on-course commentary.
I was.
Something that you've not really done before.
No, I do it for the men's golf, but I do less men's golf. And I do it for the Open Championship. But in the women's game, when you're cutting costs, one of them would be an on-course commentator. Mm. So normally I sit in the commentary box, which is basically me watching the TV screen. So I'll go out, look at the course, ask some players details, go to the driving range, and then from 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock, I'll just sit down in front of a television and call golf. But with the LPGA, they've got a bit more money, so you do an on-course commentary like Radar.
Yeah,
Wayne Riley.
He's a good job.
And then what's your, like, your task there? You follow one group or you follow lots
you
of different
follow
holes?
One group. It's often the final group or the featured group, if it's Thursday, Friday. If they're suddenly not playing well and there's a hot, like, three ball on the golf course, you might get moved. But more often than not, you'll stay with your group. You'll call all three players' shots, what club they're hitting, what's the wind direction, what's the lie, what's the yardage. All the stuff that's on a TV screen
you can't see.
How they interact with the caddy, etc.
And how close do you get to the players? They must be relatively close.
You call from 100 yards in front at least. So they hit their tee shot, I'm stood at their tee shot where it lands, right. I get the number, then I'll walk 100 yards in front.
So how do you know what hit club they hit then on the Ryan, for example?
So this is the bit.
Go on.
This is the secret. How did you think it happened?
That you'd look in the bag?
I thought it was just like a calculated
guess.
Oh
yeah, either a calculated guess or you'd look in the bag and see they've taken a 7-9 out.
Get this.
No, they signal.
Who signals? The caddy does?
The caddy, so that's wedge. Yeah.
What?
Wedge, and then if you go low, so you've got 9-iron, 8-iron, 7-iron.
I never.
6-iron's that one. And then if you're going up, then it's.
And does the caddy never forget?
Sometimes. Because sometimes if it's. And then like these, I've had to learn what the wedges are. So this is like gap wedge up here.
What?
So I know. This I've is never the heard thing. So when.
And is that in the men's game as well?
Everybody does.
What?
Every caddy signals.
No way.
So just to create for everyone listening.
But not only so, like
Sophie,
this.
Sophie's showing
the
like.
A sport.
A fist for
a wedge.
Yeah.
Your hand, so if it's 5-iron, obviously that's, 5-iron's 5 fingers and it's high.
Yeah, that's makes
okay?
sense.
But if it's 9-iron, it's 4 fingers and then you turn your hand upside down so your fingers are low. So that's like the bottom of your bag.
I don't understand how you got to 9 from that.
Because you've already got the 5.
You've already got the 5.
And you're underneath.
You're underneath.
But I thought it was 6.
That's wedge.
Oh, God.
That's 6. 6. Yeah.
What the heck?
So have you ever seen that one? I think recently Tiger played, didn't he? And he signalled down by his side.
Yeah.
That Gary Woodland or someone was hitting. And he did the three fingers. It was an A-tie-in. And everybody was like, oh my, he's telling everybody, he's telling his playing partners what club Gary Woodland's hit. Yeah. Or was it Justin Thomas? What he could have been doing is, Nota Begay is one of his best friends.
Yeah.
Nota Begay does on-course commentary. What he could be doing is signalling to Nota that that's the club he's hitting. Which would probably be more of the case.
You know
how
what?
Bad is this?
It's at the side. So the caddy will grab the bag, walk away from the player, and you'd be talking through the shot going, right, they've got 125 yards, the pin's at the front. What they'll try and do is land this long of it and spin it back, and then the caddy will, you know...
You must always have to have eyes on the caddy then.
Yeah, you're always looking at the caddy. You're very rarely looking at the player.
I'm almost
surprised
that the caddy can be bothered in a sense, because what's kind of in it for them? They're just thinking about their player, who's their boss,
absolutely,
hitting a good shot.
When the player's really struggling and the caddy's like...
They can
forget. But it's part of the TV. It's part of working together to make it a better product.
I suppose if your player's playing well and you're all good and everything, you know, you get a great move. Yeah, 3-4, whatever. Wow, didn't know that.
No. Is there any other little tricks and tips?
All golf is fake. It's like WWE. So it's all set up beforehand. Wyndham Clark lip out was all made up.
That was
we call that shots off tape. So not all the shots that we call are live. If you're, say there might be two on-course commentators, Guy, you're with the Rory McIlroy group, which most of Rory's shots are played live. As much as people go, you're not showing enough Rory, most of them will come on live.
They show plenty of Rory. Yeah. They show every shot.
I might be doing the group behind, which is Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth and Max Homer. So they'll come live to you, but they won't come live to me. So I'll watch a par three, mm-hmm. let's say, and I've just seen Jordan Spieth knock it to 15 feet. I've seen the signal. It's a 6-iron. I've seen it. Then my producer says to me, right, we're coming to you, Sophie, par three, third hole. I've already seen it. It's not live. So he says to me, Spieth stood over it, contact. They'll go 1, 2, 3, contact and lay out. So you will go Jordan Spieth, 180 yards, 6-iron. Contact, you'll hear the contact and you'll lay out. So you've commentated on something you've already seen, but you're not seeing it. You can only hear it.
Do you never go...
Oh, he stiffed it, and it's still...
Yeah, you could. This is a perfect number for Spieth. I'm expecting this one close.
He's missed three to the left so far. I think he might miss this one to
the left. Yeah, I mean, you can. Some people have the... I think on the Golf Channel, for the, they have an actual monitor. So Colt has a monitor, and he'll call it off the monitor.
So that's why I take it, obviously, it's not always live, that sometimes you'll be watching Rory, who is live, line up a putt. You'll hear a massive cheer, and then it cuts back, obviously, afterwards, doesn't it? And you know that putt's going to go in or whatever,
exactly,
because you've heard the cheer.
Yeah, I kind of presumed some of it wasn't live.
Yeah,
definitely.
But the fact you've got to call it as live is
And it's probably easier in the commentary box, because you're watching
Else
on TV.
When you're out there, you can't see it.
This is going to sound like a ridiculous question now, and people will be laughing when I say this, but genuine question. When I don't watch football the same way that Gary Neville watches football, obviously, because I know nothing about football. I just watch them try and score, and you hear them dissect the way the defenders were stood and all this stuff. And again, when I watch some other golf podcasts or listening, you know, real experts, and I claim to be a very casual fan, how do you watch golf? If you're sitting down to watch golf, you must watch it in a different way to how I watch it, because I can tell by things you say, it's so much more almost thought out.
Yeah, so I commentate on golf how I would have played it. So if you miss the green, mm-hmm. like, right, where would I want to land it? What's the lie like? So I would discuss it in that way, which is why I think caddies are really good on-course commentators. So John Wood, who kind of Kuchar, I think he's brilliant.
Bones.
And Bones was great as well, because the caddies have got that conversation. I'd end up commentary in general I struggle with, because I'm always analysing the commentary. What are they saying? Oh, they've said wow a lot. They say wow all the... So I would quite often turn it down so I can just watch the golf. But I think I do. I don't just watch golf. I think about... That's why I said to you last night, Scheffler wins.
Yeah.
Like, quite early, because I can see, like, Xander can't make himself hit a shot. He can't hit it close enough, and Wyndham was struggling, and I knew he would come back, because Wyndham wouldn't have cared if he'd have hit it in water on 17. just would not have cared. Where Xander looked like he just wanted to find the green and give himself a chance.
He was almost playing for second.
Yeah, well, not. I don't think if you asked him, he wouldn't. But he didn't have that change of gear because of the situations he's been in the past.
See, that's not how I watch golf at all.
If you had, you know, you see a lot of alternative commentary now, and you turn the TV on last night and you had four choices, okay? One of them is the standard commentary that everyone gets. Another one is silence, like nothing. Another one is like a fan, like someone who's like quite excited about it. Or the last option is like a real, like Mark Brody, real like stat man who's dead into like all the stats and everything. Which option would you go for?
I think I like the certain commentators that I like to listen to. I really enjoy the on-course commentary because I can see on the TV that, but if radar's saying this lie's horrible because just something that I don't already know. But yeah, I do. I just turn it down now. But with the football, I like to hear the commentary.
Yeah. Did you see
yesterday? Because you need the atmosphere, don't you?
When Ray Dice, they said a putt had about 20-foot swing, and the graphic came up and it was 23, and he hadn't seen it. And Laura Davis was like, "Yeah, it was 23-foot." He went, "Yeah, that's what." And like to think, like he said 20, he said 20-foot or just a bit more of swing, and it literally came up 23-foot. Like he obviously knows what he's talking about. Like to get it that close.
See, I think I'd personally want to listen to like the fan commentary.
Yeah, the fun. Yeah, like I
I'm
get
quite
that.
Like excited. Like, oh my God, what's he going to do on 17? This is going to be crazy. Oh, what if he hits in the water? Like, I almost want that YouTube kind of like drama to it. I think sometimes I've said this before, I think the presentation is very difficult. I would really struggle with live commentary and on-course commentary. I think I'd be better at the on-course stuff than maybe the actual live in the booth. But it's like, it's the idea that they never want to go super, super high or never want to go super, super low, which you have to be kind of somewhat professional all the way through it.
I think actually we've been encouraged to be a little bit more playful with what I think it was really playful, the Peter Alice type of commentary, wasn't it? And then it got a little bit and then it needs to be more serious, and I think it's got, but now we are encouraged to be a little bit more light-hearted. For instance, if you're listening on the radio, they always say to me, if someone's listening on the radio, the chances are you're their company. They're driving somewhere and you're keeping them company. So I think on radio, when you listen to the cricket, for instance, and the golf, it is more, when you've got it on TV, it's the pictures say a lot. But I do think we are trying to be more enthusiastic and more playful.
Because you do open radio, don't you? And if I go to the Open and I'm driving home on the Sunday or the Saturday or whatever, and I do put it on, and it is, like you said, it's nice. It's quite like soothing to listen to.
I think they do a great job of radio commentary.
I've got to say, it's one of my favourite weeks of the year, because to work with, I'm not an expert at broadcasting. I think I'm an expert at golf, but you're working with people that have broadcast for years. Yeah. You know, they've done that late night radio show when nobody's listening and they're by themselves. And they have got to try and have some enthusiasm. And they're just so good at it. So good.
I've asked you this question before. Have you gone through training through any of this?
Yes, I've like sought out training from people that I like at commentary, and then people that have worked for Sky Sports, BBC, producers, directors.
But you're almost doing that off your own back.
Yes, yeah.
It's quite crazy, isn't it? You almost just get like dropped into it.
Yeah, just see if you can do it. Press, there's the live button, see if you can do it.
Like, honestly, I find it, you know, so, like I say, there's so many bits going on. I would be forever, I'd have too many bits and bobs going on in my pocket.
You got somebody in your ear the whole time.
In your ear, which I've had before when I did the TV show in for Golf Channel with Drive versus Driver. I had someone, I don't like
very
it at all. It's really distracting. Like, I could be chatting to you now and I've got literally someone talking to me. I'm like, God, what are you doing? I don't need someone in
when
my
you're interviewing
ear now.
Someone and they're going, wrap it up, and they're not wrapping up, and you're like, stop talking.
But where do you think then, with that in mind as well, like obviously with things like the Apple Vision Pro that got announced recently and all this VR and AR and all this mad stuff, like in another 5, 10, 15 years time, I wonder how we'll actually watch golf, like, because surely it's not very far away. If not doable now, we just put a 360 camera on a seat at the 18th at the Masters at Augusta, and then you can put a headset on and be sat in that seat.
Like, I mean, better still, it could even stick out the golf bag. Like, yeah. imagine literally being almost like above the golf bag, and you can hear
like
the caddy.
Yeah.
You can hear the caddy, you can hear the player, like there. you'd right, you'd want to be able to have a little switch where you go onto the green. Once the shot's been hit, you could go onto the green.
I think it's a must now to have caddy and player chat in general.
Yeah.
I think there's no excuse. I think players on the, if you watch American football, they're all mic'd up, and there's a trust with the producer to not put anything out that shouldn't be. And I believe that that should happen. I think Liv have the mics, don't they?
Yeah.
That should be a must for me.
I think that's where people were scared at first, was this idea that I'm guessing a lot of chat between players and caddies was definitely not broadcastable, you know.
But I don't think you've got to trust the TV. They, you know, we're all in it together. We're all about putting the best product out there possible. And that's what I say to the players. Like, if someone's asked, I gave an interview to a player after an event in Thailand, and I hadn't seen a shot of what she'd played because I'd been with the other group. So I just said, Alban, I'm ever so sorry, I have not seen one shot before we went live. I'm going to ask you a very open-ended question. Can you just go for it? Because sometimes I used to get interviewed after a round and think, did he not watch anything I just did? I've just shot 65. But sometimes we haven't.
Yeah.
And we're all in it together to make the product better. And as soon as I told her that, she was like, great, yeah, hold a shot and say, oh, that's good, well done. All I'd got was a scorecard. And they've got to trust the television that they're not going to throw them under the bus.
Yeah, I suppose that's similar to the relationship we've had with players on the channel. Mm. Like, you know, some things get said and you're like, well, let's not keep that in, like, let's cut that. And it's not... It might put somebody in hot water. It's not meant to. It's a casual comment. Be like, let's part. Let's not leave. You know, let's put that in. But I suppose if it's live, that's where it's probably a bit trickier.
But I think they think everything's live as well.
Yeah.
As well. I think not everything we show is live. And also, if you are playing live sport, you've got, you know, you would be a bit tamer on some of the stuff. They don't swear as much as... they would normally, would they?
No, not at all.
So
I think, I've spoke about swearing a bit. I know, because obviously Liv have, it's not bleeped out, it's kind of on there. And I'm not, people swear, I swear, God, like we're playing golf.
Like
but,
a docker.
But like, I do think there should be a setting to be able to even bleep it out. You know, and I like seeing the emotion. I actually like seeing players swear. But for the young fans, I just don't think you should have the actual word in there, really, or words.
I think anything that you can see behind the scenes, though, like hear them having that discussion between what club they're going to hit. And even when you hear a little bit on the PGA Tour, like, oh, 65, going to hit a soft 8-iron or whatever they say. Like, it does give you that bit more like insight, obviously, into the shot, and you buy into it more. And I think one of the things I've said a few times now on, like, with Full Swing, again, I keep going back to you, but seeing more of the players in the, you know, just being themselves makes you buy into them more. Like I was saying last week that, you know, I was never, no disrespect, never a fan of Keegan Bradley. And then I watched the Full Swing of him not getting picked for the Ryder Cup, and I felt so sorry for him. And I was kind of rooting for him. And I think I will do more so watching him now. And even those little nuggets before a shot, I think would make you fans of players more.
Have you had a chance to watch the Full Swing series yet?
I haven't, and I suppose that's a really bad thing for being in the industry. And terrible. I've not even finished the end of the first Full Swing. I had this chat with Nelly Corder about it. I was like, oh, you know, do you watch all this? And it was about the Beckham documentary. And she was like, so if we know it's still not real. Like, you know, it's still not real. But I will watch it, obviously. I'm on Drive to Survive at the minute. I try and watch other stuff else. Golf just consumes me.
This is my point. I really enjoyed Full Swing, and I kind of watched it consciously so that if we spoke about it, I could say. But what's been... I don't know any figures, so I'm kind of guessing this, but you've not finished it yet, I don't think, have you?
No, I'm on the Fitzpatrick show.
So if a lot of people who know who... in theory should have been absolutely just destroying it in one night, like you two, for example, haven't either finished
it
or watched it
2 weeks before it came out.
Well, exactly.
I got an early preview, and last year I'd watched it before anyone else had seen it. Well, this year I'm like, kind of,
and unless I'm mistaken, I've not heard, I don't know if I'm in the right forums to hear, but I've not heard many non-golfers binging it, whereas
I'm the other way. I've just about to say the flip side. I've got a lot of my mates that are non-golfers
who've watched it. See, that's good,
because I think that's what it's aimed at.
But I've not heard it, really. But whether I've just not been in the right places or asked people, I don't know.
I certainly, from the again, I've not finished the whole of second series just yet, but I definitely feel like the first series more aimed at non-golfers,
yeah, to get them in.
I feel like this time it's a little bit less aimed at non-golfers. It feels like you need to have a bit of knowledge to watch this one. This Fitzpatrick one's annoying me. I've tried to watch it like three times.
Why?
I love both of them. I think they're brilliant.
It's little
Martin
Alex.
Yeah,
Alex. Is it? Yeah.
It's so, honestly, if they've said it once, they've said it literally a million times. That he's in his shadow, yeah. And I'm like, just drop it. Like,
what, the boys think that, or is that what?
That's the narrative they've created, that Alex is living in obviously Matt's shadow and he's trying to get out of that shadow. And
but it seems like it's so put in the story.
I don't
story.
Think that's true. I know them. I don't think that's
yeah,
true.
It just seems like it's so in the story. It's like, all right, we kind of get it. I didn't like, I'm not enjoying this episode.
But if you
as
think about, if you think
to.
About the fact of it, take away factual and put it as like an arc and a narrative, you've had the story of the episode was obviously Alex is in his shadow, quote unquote. He then does really well at the Open Championship, and that gets him out of that shadow to some degree. Like, it's a great story, but how real is it? I don't know.
Yeah, it just feels like, I don't know, it's the first episode I've literally tried to watch that like 3 or 4 times. I keep turning it off and I'm like, I just can't get through this episode, and it's frustrating me really.
But isn't that the point of series? Like, there's going to be one episode that is just amazing and then another one that you go, oh yeah, that was alright.
Like the Matt Fitzpatrick one last year, I was literally crying at the end of it. Like, it was like one of the best scenes I've ever seen in my life, when you're playing that last hole and the music was playing, and after you've got your brother and his family running on, it's like amazing.
So your point a second ago, I think you've almost got to see it as a non-golfer. If you were a non-golfer, you've just said you know them both. If you don't have a clue who they are and watch the episode, that's actually quite a good story, isn't it? And whether it's not quite true, a lot of those Drive to Survive stuff might not be that true, but I wouldn't know because I don't really watch F1.
That's true.
So it is tailored for those people for sure.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into the Ryder Cup episodes because I've still not watched those just yet.
I didn't think they were allowed. I thought, what was that whole thing about? They weren't allowed in the locker rooms, was there? Because
no,
people like Xander Schauffele, he didn't want it. But I was on the driving range at the Ryder Cup and Luke was talking to Thomas Bjorn, and they looked round and basically went, who are you? And they were like, oh, we're Netflix. And their faces, he was like, don't worry, it can't go in. Like, whatever we've just videoed of you, it's going to be like B-roll.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I didn't even realise you were allowed.
Yeah, it was. It was quite heavily. There's two Ryder Cup episodes, and it was good.
Yeah, it's delightful. Yeah, do you think, I think again, what would be nice to see is, like, say, if you threw in a few LPGA stars, or there was a bit of narrative in there, or there was a full swing, you know, female version or whatever. Like, because I think, again, I don't think you always get to see behind the scenes for a lot of, certainly, female players. Like, it feels, I don't know, it's hard to watch anyway. And then I think they're more willing to do stuff like you mentioned on social media to get the name out a little bit more as well. I think that'd be quite a cool little series to watch, even if it was just a 1 hour documentary which showed a bit more.
Did you ever watch the one, was it a No Laying Up one on
Madeline Sagstrom, didn't they?
No, but they did Stanford University, I'm sure it was, the women's team.
They did
that
Stanford
was really
one.
Good.
The LPGA have done, I think it's called Drive On, and they've paid for their own and tried to do it at some events. But yeah, I mean, that's the next thing. And I mean, talking about like brothers, I mean, there's so many sisters on the LPGA tour, it just seems quite normal that both sisters are playing.
Even if you linked it in with like a Min Woo Lee and a Min Ji Lee episode.
There was a good, I haven't watched all of it, but an Australian news channel did something with Min Ji and Min Woo, and it was like yin and yang, aren't they? I mean, you've met Min Woo. Min Ji's a total opposite to him. And that was a really nice piece, and something like that would be good. But obviously, it's getting them in the same place at the same time.
Yeah. So, quick change of subject. We have got what will be yesterday when this comes out, but today that we're doing this podcast, the video of the PutView X goggles, Rick.
Yes.
So have you seen these, by the way, the PutView goggles?
Is this what some of the players are wearing?
Well, it's like the Apple thing you were spoke about before that goes over your head, like the VR thing, and then you go onto a golf green and it essentially gives you the break and everything of the putt.
Have you seen some players using them?
I've seen, well, I don't know if it is the same.
They're like literally
be.
Like big goggles.
So PutView, the technology of PutView is incredible anyway, because it can project the slope, the speed.
I've seen
everything.
It on, like, Justin Rose has got a putting green.
Yeah.
And then it's got
studio.
That on it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. So they've now tested it with, can that happen out on the golf course in a real world scenario? And this is the first iteration of the goggles. And spoiler alert, as I say, my full review goes out
yesterday. Just listen to this.
It's not perfect, okay? But for a first version, it's really, really good. Like, literally, you put
on
the goggles.
So, like what you were saying, 23 feet, in 23 feet, it's 20 feet.
Yeah.
Right, that type of thing.
And it's literally, try and explain it to the people listening.
It's a little bit buggy, so it's augmented reality.
I want to try and get a clip up that's
AR. So you put it on, and it's all voice activated, and you say, hey, PutView.
There we go. That's Rick in the goggles. That's what he's looking at. You can see that. Then you hit the port.
So it's like what comes up on the television,
literally,
doesn't it? So it says...
And it gives you the brake. It's ridiculous.
So you can set it to the green speed. You say, hey, put for your new target. So it wraps a circle around the hole. You then go back to the ball and say... hey, put view golf ball, and then it literally comes up with these lines.
So it's got the line that the ball should roll on.
You can correct. Also change all
you
that.
You can have everything you want, yeah.
Have the corridor, you can have the tracer line, you can have alignment lines.
That one went in, obviously.
So they have one, so what they use on the television for LIV and PGA Tour, is it that same type of technology?
I don't think they're the same technologies between the two. I don't know what each one of them use, weirdly. I feel like the one on LIV is actually through an app called Shot Tracer.
Okay.
But I don't know the one. I don't know how they work it on TV.
Do you not think that is, I think it's £12,000 right now, isn't it? Very expensive.
I think it's £20,000 potentially.
But, obviously, you're a golf coach. I imagine teaching someone who's struggling with putting, who can't quite understand how much they have to aim for break or whatever it might be, and putting that on the head and then showing them, they can see, like, oh my days, that's a right...
Imagine having somebody come for a putting lesson. That never happens. Oh, God. How many putting lessons did you give in your time?
Oh, I mean, obviously, I was mainly based at driving ranges. But a few more than expected, but you're right, it's definitely become more popular.
And even when that comes out to other part, who knows what it's going to like in the future, when it can help with your full swing or chipping, or whatever it looks like, bunker play, but putting those goggles on and someone can see, oh my days, that's where I should be aiming, or that's what I need to be doing. Like, how
That's where I think most of the time it's where they think they're aiming and where they actually are. There's two different things as well.
Because so what you can do with that as well, as we showed there, you can actually record what I see as well. So you can almost analyse that afterwards.
From a coaching point of view, I think that's arguably the most important thing.
Because you could say, where did you start that? And they went straight, and you can actually show them the footage back, and so you can, straight off the face, they went left.
Well, that's the thing with Scotty Scheffler, wasn't it? It was like where he was aiming wasn't right, and he thought he was starting. The whole thing with the Scotty Scheffler thing is, in his press conference, he was saying, the putter that I had, I struggled to put the ball in the middle of the face. So when I came back to strike, I was hitting it out the heel. Whereas this new putter, I can line it up out the middle of the... And this is the best player in the world. Struggles to put the ball in the middle of the club face when he lines it up.
It's a bit mad, though, isn't it?
Isn't it?
He needs to move his feet more for his putting. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. Sophie, you've been amazing as always. I know you probably wanted to go into much more stats around the players. Anything you feel like we missed that you want to cover? This is your chance.
Sophie's normally doing proper golf podcasts, so this isn't...
No, it was quite nice. I've got the leaderboard out in front of me, and I didn't even need to leave.
We don't need strokes gained.
Without looking, who came 10th?
Rory.
No, he was 15th, I'm guessing. I don't know, I'm just
guessing. Joel Damon came 11th.
He actually did do very well, Joel Damon, to be fair, which is good. But after this, we're going to turn the cameras off, audio only, the little bonus Clubhouse podcast, which is going to come out on Friday. Who knows what's going to go on? There's no cameras, so...
Who knows? That's where the fun begins. Guys, thanks for watching, listening as always. Be sure to check out Sophie Walk on all of her social media, and good luck with the rest of commentary, etc. for the rest of 2024. I'm sure you'll be back on the show very soon, hopefully.
Yeah, nice to have you. Nice to see you. No, I'm not doing the bite size.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.